Do you still have your Christmas decorations up? How many of you have decorations up still? Hey, we're still enjoying ours. Why not? You know what I found? For me, it seems easier to enjoy them when I don't have to worry about all the hustle and bustle and busyness that I have to take care of that's leading up to. Oh, I enjoy them up to Christmas and during Christmas Day. But just because Christmas Day is over doesn't mean that I can't enjoy them and continue to remember what they represent. I like the Christmas stories too. I like to think about the stories of the baby Jesus. What he has done and what his parents did, Mary and Joseph, and the courage that they had. Last week we talked about Jesus, the Prince of Peace, who was presented in the temple, and we found that in him being presented in the temple, the prophecy was that he would not only bring peace to those who accepted him, but division for those who rejected him. This morning, I want to continue the adventures of baby Jesus and his family. The guest stars on this morning's presentation are the wise men and King Herod himself. So, Matthew chapter 2. Let me read that. Let me begin to read that for you. We've been reading out of Luke previously, but this week, Matthew chapter 2. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. All right. Introducing King Herod. Who is Herod? King Herod the Great was his name. Herod the Great achieved power in Judea because he had Roman backing. Now, I wish that I could explain to you what it was like in the country of Israel. Just like in the United States of America, where we have several states and smaller governments, Judea was a country that was part of the Roman Empire. And there were different parts of the Roman Empire that had other governors over them. And Herod had been appointed by Augustus as this king over the Jewish people in Judea. But he was known for his brutality. He suppressed anybody that opposed him. He was friends with Caesar Augustus and several other very important people in the Roman government. And ethnically, his background, where he came from, was he was an Edomite. Does anybody know what an Edomite was? Edomites are descendants of Esau. Remember who Esau is? Esau was Jacob's brother. Jacob's brother. Now, Jacob, remember, Jacob was a son. Jacob and Esau, it was Abraham who had Isaac. Isaac had Esau and then Jacob. And Jacob was renamed Israel. And the people of Israel, the Jewish people, are descendants of Israel. But Herod, he was a descendant of Abraham, like Jacob was, and Jacob's people, but he was not a descendant of Jacob and those people that had become Israel. But during time, in before the time of Herod, Herod's people, the Edomites, kind of were forcibly, they kind of forcibly were converted to Judaism, followers of the ways of the Hebrew people. So he wasn't really a Jew by faith, but by tradition. He didn't become a Jew because he believed in God. He became a Jew because that's what his tradition had told him to do. And he didn't honor God with his heart. He was not a faithful follower of God. However, the good thing that he did, well, good in many respects, was he built in Jerusalem the ancient world's largest and most magnificent temple for the Jews. The temple that Herod rebuilt, Solomon's temple, he made it several times larger than what Solomon had ever made it. He rebuilt it, and it was a beautiful place, huge, the biggest temple built in that time ever. This was his contribution to the Jewish religion. The problem was he also built temples honoring Augustus, the emperor, because he was a politician. He was trying to get along with everyone. And he also made very lavish contributions to the Gentile cities that were close to him. He wasn't just focusing on honoring God, which that's what God called for, was only worshiping Him, not worshiping any other gods. Herod wasn't that way. He gave money and he contributed greatly to building other temples to other gods that the Gentiles worship. And then when there was people who opposed him, he killed them. That's not really a good solution, especially for those who oppose him. There were some members of the old Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin were the group of Pharisees and Sadducees who were the religious leaders in the day in Jerusalem. There were some who said, Herod, you're not right. And so he said, I will be in just a minute. And he killed them. And he says, anybody else want to stand up against me? And then he appointed people to take their place that would not stand against him. In fact, he didn't tolerate anybody that went against him. There were some young disciples of some religious teachers who knew that it was wrong to have a great golden eagle, the sign of the Roman Empire, erected in the temple of God Almighty. And so they took it on themselves, these young disciples took it on themselves to take it down because it was disgracing the house of God. And Herod had them executed also. That's the kind of man he was. He was very protective of his power. And he was so jealous of potential rivals that his more popular brother-in-law, who was a very young high priest, had a drowning accident in a very shallow pool. Archaeology has shown that that pool was not very deep. How could he possibly have drowned in that? It was an accident that Herod saw to. Herod, when his favorite wife, Miriam, who was a Jewish princess, was falsely accused of adultery, he had her strangled. Though later on, he named a tower in his palace after her. He had very lavish palaces. He had one in Jerusalem. It was huge. Had 600 guest rooms. He had another palace in Jericho. It was also very lavish. He had two of his sons executed as they were accused for plotting against him. But they were falsely accused by another one of his sons. And then 4 days before Herod died, he had that son executed because he falsely accused the other two sons. when Herod, he craved honor so much that when he was on his deathbed, he ordered that many of his nobles be arrested. Can you imagine? Just being a citizen in the community, being someone who had some money, being a noble person, and being arrested just so that when the king died, you would die with him and people would be mourning the day that the king died. So that's what he did. He had them arrested so that they would be executed when he died. So that people would be sad when he died. Huh. However, fortunately for them, when he died, those nobles were released. And the people celebrated the death of Herod. This is the kind of person he was. I will tell you that Herod, he did die in Jericho of a very excruciating, painful disease. He had sores all over his body, and it came to be known as Herod's evil. He was such an evil man that he probably deserved this kind of torture. It was what they decided. In fact, he was in so much pain that he tried to kill himself, but someone stopped him. Herod was a miserable man who was paranoid about losing his power and his influence. So that's your introduction to King Herod. That is who was ruling the country when Jesus was born. So let me start over. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. And about that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where's the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." Do you guys know who the wise men were? Children? Do you know who the wise men were? Do you? The three kings? The Magi, as they're called? The wise men. We sing the song, "We three kings of Orient are." We sing that song about them. Actually, they weren't kings, but they were very well-educated people. Probably from Persia. They were educated in history and prophecy and astrology and mathematics and several other things. And through their studies and through the new star that appeared in the sky, it was revealed to them that the great King of Kings had been born. They knew about him because of the teachings they had heard in their own land, possibly from the exile of the Hebrews and Daniel's influence in Nebuchadnezzar and Cyrus's kingdoms hundreds of years before. You remember the story of Daniel? You remember how Daniel had gone, had been captured and taken into Babylon, and he stood for what was right and faced death for doing so, but he didn't die because God protected him. And he was able to foretell Nebuchadnezzar's dreams, and he became a wise man in Nebuchadnezzar's court and became the second most powerful person there. And in that same understanding of wise men, these men became wise men from that same place. They knew about Jesus because of the teachings they had heard in their land. The teachings they had read from the prophecies in Daniel's time. So they were anxious to come see him and pay tribute to him. It was customary to honor a new king and to pay tribute to him. I mean, that was something the people did. They would travel from other countries when there was a new king that was born. But the Holy Spirit led them using an uncommon tool, the star. Yet it was a tool that they would follow because they were astrologers. It was interesting to them. Well, that's the introduction to the the kings, the wise men. So the wise men came and asked in Jerusalem, where is the king of the Jews? Can you imagine being a wise man? You have traveled many days from the Far East, and you have come, you've ridden whatever it was, donkeys, horses. We think it might have been camels because they may have crossed the desert. And they come into Jerusalem and they see this magnificent palace that King Herod lives in. And they're thinking, could this be where the new king is born? And they come to the king and they say, tell us, where's the new king of the Jews? Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. So Herod called a meeting of the leading priests and the teachers of the religious law, and he asked, where is the Messiah supposed to be born? Herod has his leaders come forward, and they say, in Bethlehem, in Judea, they said, for this is what the prophet wrote, and they quoted to him, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah. For a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel. So then Herod calls for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them, go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and I can worship him too. After this, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. Yeah, I think about that star. When we see stars, they're a long way off, right? I mean, obviously, you can't reach out and touch a star. And when you see a star moving, it's usually a shooting star. How many of you have seen shooting stars? Or really, meteors, meteorites? How many of you have seen Halley's Comet? Do you remember seeing Halley's Comet in the sky with that long tail? Very interesting. But did you actually see it moving? No, it was there. You could look away and it was back in the same place. But it was moving, but you didn't see that. Here's the thing about this star and these wise men. They came out of the palace with Herod to go to Bethlehem from Jerusalem. Bethlehem is only 5 or 6 miles away. They look up and there is the star and it's leading them. It's moving. How close was that star? Do you think that it was something that God created that looks like it's right there? And it's moving enough that if you followed it, moving enough that you could follow it to the place where it's going to stay. And that's exactly what happened. It guided them to Bethlehem. It guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were filled with joy. The star stopped over the house where Jesus was. Now, let me say this. The book of Matthew tells us about the wise men. The book of Luke tells us about the shepherds. He doesn't tell us about the shepherds in Matthew. Matthew tells us that the wise men came to a house. In Luke, the shepherds came to a stable. The understanding that we have from this is that the wise men didn't get there the night Jesus was born. The wise men came after the star appeared. The star appeared, most likely, when Jesus was born. The whole goal was the star was there to lead the wise men to Jesus. So it was sometime after Jesus was born. And his family moved out of the stable. I mean, Jesus might have been as much as 2 years old when the wise men came. He might have been walking and much like Skyler, running around, playing. We're not sure, but there's some reasons that we believe that. So they lived in a house at that time. They had set up house there, and the wise men came. And they entered the house, and they saw the child with his mother, Mary. And they bowed down, and they worshipped him. Can you picture this? Mary and Joseph, I don't know if the Holy Spirit had revealed to them they were going to have guests that day. Mary, do you think that Mary scurried around to pick up after the family as she saw somebody coming to the door? Here come some very stately individuals. By the way, we're not sure that there were three wise men. We know that there were three gifts. There might have been seven wise men. Who knows? It was most likely a rather sizable caravan. They came and they filled the parking lot, stopped in the street, and they entered the house. And when they saw the child, it says, they bowed down and they worshiped him. They bowed down and they worshiped him. How many of you, when you see a child, get on your knees and worship them? I love to get on my knees and play with the children. That's one of the things that I enjoy, is that with my nieces and nephews, and as they were getting older, it was just getting on the floor and playing with them. But this is not what the kings were doing, what the wise men were doing. They worshiped. As we worship when we come in. But you know what? I didn't see any of you falling on your face today as you worship Jesus. That's not our custom. Actually, we're kind of proud to do that. We're not set up here. We don't have enough room for you to lay down and lay prostrate in front of him. But that's what they did. They bowed down. They got on their knees. They got down on their face. And they worshiped him. Worship being something that comes from the heart. They had traveled these many, many miles to come and see the newborn king. And their hearts were filled with worship so that they could do nothing but fall down in front of him and worship and give praise to the Father above for sending his Son. And then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Gold because he was a king. That's what kings deserve. They had traveled many miles. This is what they would give as a gift for other kings. But then there was the frankincense. And that was an expensive spice and incense. And it was meant for a god, because they recognized who he was. Very expensive. Because in their times, they burned incense to their gods. Even in the time of the temple, the Jewish people burned incense. We find places in the Bible talking about burning incense to God. So they brought incense. And they also brought myrrh. Myrrh being the spice that you wrap a body with when they've died, for preserving them. Because Jesus was coming to die for our sins. That's why they brought these three gifts. I don't know how long they stayed. I'd like to think that Mary was on the phone calling up the neighbors, "Hey, can you guys come help me get ready for all these people who came to my house?" I don't know if she had servants or not. I don't know what they did. I would like to think that they stayed for a little while and they lingered together, that these wise men were able to stay in the presence of Jesus, this child, the new king, the Prince of Peace. They had traveled so far, but the Bible doesn't tell us. What it says is, when it was time for them to leave, they returned to their own country by another route. For God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. Remember, Herod wanted them to come back. Tell me where he is so that I can come and worship him too. Ha! That wasn't his intention at all, was it? Well, verse 13 says, after the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. The angel says to Joseph, get up, flee to Egypt with the child and his mother. And the angel said, stay there until I tell you to return, because Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. And so that very night, Joseph gathered his family and they left for Egypt. Probably a good thing that the wise men had come with gold and frankincense and myrrh, because now Mary and Joseph had money for their trip and for their living expenses. I'm sure that what was brought to them was part of God's divine plan to take care of them. Joseph was a carpenter. Most likely, he was earning a living taking care of Jesus and Mary as a carpenter in Bethlehem. But now they had to leave that behind. They didn't even, the scripture doesn't say it, but they left immediately. I'm sure they didn't go around and tell their neighbors, hey, we're leaving, we're heading to Egypt. If we get any calls, let them know. No. They were hiding. This is God's witness protection plan. They're out of there, into Egypt. They stayed there until Herod's death. And this fulfilled what the Lord had spoken through the prophet, I called my son out of Egypt. Back to King Herod. Herod was furious when he realized that the wise men had outwitted him. He sent soldiers to kill all the boys. Now, I've done some research here, and I've heard several people say that he killed all of the children in Bethlehem. But that's not what the scripture says. Okay? Well, he may have killed more than the boys, but Herod sent soldiers to kill all the boys in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under, based on the wise men's report of the star's first appearance. That's why we think Jesus may have been about 2 years old. Church family, what sorrow would we feel if the terrorists came into our town and killed our children this way? How would that impact us? Would we be able to survive? Overwhelming grief. I don't know how they did it. But Herod's brutal action fulfilled what God had spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah, a prophet, hundreds of years before, had said this is going to happen. He said, a cry was heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeps for her children, talking about the mother of the Hebrew children, weeps for her children, refusing to be comforted, for they are dead. The sadness that King Herod brought. But this was just a couple of years before he died. And I'm sure that his punishment is great because of his wickedness. Verse 19, when Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. Get up, the angel said. take the child and his mother back to the land of Israel, because those who were trying to kill the child are dead. So Joseph got up and returned to the land of Israel with Jesus and his mother. Now you have to understand, coming from Egypt, Egypt is in the south. You have to travel through Judea, into Judea, to become and back to Bethlehem. But the scripture says that Joseph got up and returned to the land of Israel with Jesus and his mother. But when he learned that the new ruler of Judea was Herod's son, Archelaus, he was afraid to go there. So he went farther past Judea to the land of Galilee, where Archelaus was not a ruler. Well, he did that because he was warned in a dream, and they left for the region of Galilee, so that the family went and lived in a town called Nazareth, which is actually the town that Mary and Joseph had come from before Jesus was born. And this fulfilled what the prophets had said: he will be called a Nazarene. The whole Old Testament is filled with prophecies of Jesus and things that would happen in his life. And he has fulfilled those prophecies. There are still some. And that is that Jesus is coming back. He will return. Well, God sent the King of the Jews, Jesus, the Prince of Peace, into the world very many years ago. He spoke to people and showed them the way to his Son. He spoke to the shepherds by sending the angels, and they went and found Jesus and they worshiped him. God sent a star to lead the wise men to the King of Kings, and they worshiped him. He even sent the wise men to Herod that he might have opportunity to worship the King of Kings, the Prince of Peace. But Herod, when he learned about God's king, he was so worried that Jesus was going to take away his kingdom that he tried to have him killed. Jesus didn't want Herod's throne. He wanted his heart. He wanted him to repent. He wanted him to understand who the true king was. Every one of us here this morning has been shown the king. God has allowed us to hear from his word about him. We've heard about his promises to send a king. We've heard about how his promises were kept when Jesus came. Jesus came to this earth as a baby. He grew up. He taught us how to live. He taught us how to love. And then he died on the cross to pay for our sins so that we could all be saved. And then he raised up from the dead. He's alive even now. And he's reigning as the King of Kings in the kingdom of God right now. Are you a part of the kingdom of God? Yes. You know what? If you are a part of the kingdom of God, you have got what Herod missed. And one day, even though Jesus is reigning now in our kingdom, in the kingdom that we live in, the kingdom that our hearts are a part of, one day he is going to appear. Can you think of it? Can you imagine it? What do you think, children? There's going to be a day when all of a sudden, all of us, no matter what we're doing, we're going to stop, because there's going to be a trumpet sounding, a trumpet that will be heard all the way around the world. And Jesus will be coming down on a cloud. Here he comes. And he will gather all of those who belong to him in his kingdom up into the air with him. And those who have not chosen to be a part of his kingdom will be left behind here. And their judgment will be the fact that they've refused to honor the King of Kings. What are you going to do with this information? You've got several choices. Will you believe in Jesus? Will you bring your best gift to Jesus and worship and fall down before Him? Will you obey Him? Will you choose to believe and allow Him to be the King of your heart? Or will you worry that Jesus will not allow you to do the things you want to do, and so you will try to be your own king? King Jesus or King me? What will it be? If it's King Jesus that you have chosen, we have a few other steps that we need to talk about. Will you share Him with others? Will He be the one that you tell other people about? Will you be excited about Him? Will He be the reason that you live? He is our only hope. We have been created to live in community with Jesus and to receive His peace. We've been created to worship Him with our praise. We've been created to submit to Him as Lord of our lives. We've been created to live with Him not only as our Savior, but as our friend. When we reject the opportunity to live in community with Him, we reject His peace and all the blessings He has to offer. Part of living in community with Him is sharing Him with others. This morning, as on many Sunday mornings, I just ask you to consider, where is your heart? Where is your heart? Is it with Jesus, truly? Or is there something standing in the way? Would you stand together? I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. We have another opportunity if you want. If you have a need that you need to come to the altar for, the altar is open. We invite you to come. Pray. But even if you don't feel the need to come forward to the altar, I invite you to pray. If things are well with your spirit, then let's just spend this time in worship as we sing the song, "O Come Into the King's Chamber."